This morning's class in Agata. Again, I was a little late finishing off the second chapter of the Parikram Kanda of Navabraja Mahima. Still in Mathura, but now out of Mathura and going on to Madhuvan and the different forests of New Vrajadam. Classes yesterday and today are from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Liberation and the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and his explanations on the real meaning of the Vedas, Vedanta Sutra, establishing the personal feature of the personality of Godhead, that ultimately God is a person. And although it's a concept that we often stress, often repeat, argue, we know the different reasons why God is not impersonal, why there are not many gods, why God is not void, but that he's a being, a supreme person. And yet, as Srila Prabhupada once asked his leaders, we need to ask ourselves, do we believe that Krishna is God? In other words, that person who plays a flute, who wrestles with cowherd boys, who tends to cows, who sits in his mother's lap, who dances with other gopis, who has a medium-sized form, in other words, a form in the region of our dimensions, or this physical body's dimensions. He has these human-like pastimes, plays in Vrindavan, walks barefoot. Do you believe that this is God? Or do you believe that this person is God? Because without a real personal conception of God, the impetus for progressing forward in religion, the impetus for spiritual life, is nil. What is the Buddhist idea of liberation, that you lose your existence? Well, if it's a choice of being something or being nothing, I'd rather be something, which means that better being an illusion and existing than merging into a reality where you stop your existence. And the Mayavadi's version of losing your identity and just experiencing a homogeneous, unified existence in which there's no variegatedness, in which there are no pastimes, there's no individuality. Well, this is still better than that. At least I remain an individual here in the material world. At least I have my own opinions. I have my own likes and dislikes. Once again, the impetus for going forward in spiritual life is stymied. Why should I? Why should I take religion very seriously? Why should I make it my life if conditional life offers better future than liberated life? So yes, we need to have a real clear conception that we're going to a spiritual abode where there is spiritual scenery, where there are spiritual people, where there are spiritual pastimes, where there's a spiritual forest to enjoy in, and where one is eternally engaged in play. Now that sounds good, and in fact people say, well, it's too good to be true. It's, yes, it's too good, but it is true. In fact, it is the truth. And if we have faith in that, and if we have the faith in the person who is the cynosure of that place, Krishna, then now we have a real reason to go forward and practice spiritual life. But yes, we must be convinced that he's a person, because in practicing spiritual life, we must also be aware that this is not some kind of mechanical process. We're not following some rules and regulations that are representative of some impersonal legal system or that are something that which have been translated from some stone tablets. But these are actually the desires and the words of a person. And that person sees. He sees everything that we do. He sees everything that we feel. And being present in our heart, he also knows all of our thoughts, which means that it's not just enough for us to mechanically follow some rule and regulations. We need to give our heart to the process because Krishna is, as mentioned, aware of what's going on within. It's not just a process of mechanical action, but it's actually a process of devotion. It's a matter of giving our hearts to Krishna, giving our minds to Krishna, and therefore it's a process of Krishna consciousness. Consciousness is the most fundamental level at which all other actions and existences are influenced. Your thinking, your speaking, your activity is all influenced by the consciousness that you have. And therefore, if we are Krishna conscious, if we're aware of Krishna, if we're convinced of Krishna's personality and existence, and if within our consciousness we're absorbed, then it makes all of our other activities and it makes all of our devotions much more forthright, much more honest, much more complete. It makes them whole. So thinking about Krishna as a person who is trying to develop faith in us, trying to find confidence in by dint of the activities that we perform, how well we stick to our vows, how reliable we are in our devotions, how much faith that we have in him, and all of these things are not a mystery to him, because Shashinoti Akaranat, because he sees everything that we're doing, so he's aware of everything, and therefore we need to build his confidence in us, as well as building our confidence in him. And this was a theme, a topic that we discussed some time back in another podcast about Krishna's faith in us. And when we fall short, when we fall down, when we break vows, then we should recognize that this is not simply the matter of breaking some mechanical rules in which some impartial, neutral judge will give us some punishment for what we've done. But it's actually about betraying a person. It's about disappointing a person who feels betrayed. If, for instance, a person has taken vows of initiation and after initiation he breaks those vows, she breaks those vows. Because Krishna Atma Samarpan, Krishna has taken us into his confidence. He has brought us into his family. He's bringing us near to him, sitting beside him on the basis of our promises and our commitment. And if we don't maintain that promise and commitment, then we're not just dealing with breaking an impersonal law, but we're dealing with hurting a person. We're dealing with breaking a person's heart. And when we think about Krishna as being a person, then we have to think about how that person reacts under such circumstances, and that becomes our impetus for being good, for being faithful, for being determined, for sticking to our vows, for being steady in devotion, because we don't want to hurt a person. Because ultimately, the quality of our being a person is how we can give ourselves to other persons, how we can take into consideration their likes and dislikes. And when we know and recognize Krishna's soft-hearted nature, how tolerant he is, how loving he is, how wonderful a person he is, the most wonderful person, then we wouldn't want to disappoint a person like that. We want to make good in the eyes of such a personality. And therefore, these words of Srila Prabhupada need to echo within our minds. Yes, do you believe that Krishna is God? And if we do, then we really need to think, feel, and act in ways that reflect Krishna's godhood. Therefore, we should increase our faith in the divinity of the Lord, constantly hear about Him, constantly try to think about His personal traits and characteristics. That will help our Krishna consciousness, and our Krishna consciousness in turn will help us to become real friends of Krishna. Lord Brahma says, Aho bhagyam, ananda gopa vajo kisham, yan mitram paramanandam, purnam brahma sanatanam. How fortunate is the Maharaj, and how fortunate are the cowherd men and cowherd damsels of Vrindavan. There's no limit to their good fortune, because the absolute truth, the supreme source of all transcendental bliss, the original eternal Brahman, has become their friend. And Krishna has befriended, now I'm speaking, not Lord Brahma, and Krishna has befriended the Brijbasis. Why? Because they've given their hearts to Him. They've given their hearts to Him because He's the Supreme Person and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let us also give our hearts to Krishna. Hare Krishna.